that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. The cheetah sees the cheetah. I hope that there was a fence there. Yeah, there's a fence. I always worry about those. They always make me nervous when you see these videos of, like, the drive-around zoo and the bear comes up and, like, busts the window out because somebody's got peanut butter inside. Some idiot thinks they're going to feed the bear peanut butter. Anyway, that cheetah was not getting to the other cheetah, although the human cheetah would have run away. I think the human cheetah would have found out pretty quickly he ain't a real cheetah.
No,
if the other cheetah had a chance to chase him down and eat him.
Cheetah, Tyreek Hill's one of the most explosive great athletes ever, no doubt about that. But, I mean, damn, cheetahs, leopards, those, they're the greatest athletes on the planet. Some of the things they do, you know me, I'm Mr. Nature Wildlife guy. And especially with big cats, I love that. Yeah, sorry, he's going to lose that race just by a little bit.
What was that? What was that show? What was that ridiculous show?
Tiger King.
Carol
Baskins. Carol Baskins. Yeah. I used to take kids there to the Big Cat Rescue in Tampa. It was unbelievable. You know, I took kids from a shelter and we would go there and, you know, feed the tigers and lions and, you know, get an up close look at all of it. But I've always had a special place for the big cats. And I like Tyreek too. Even the human nickname cats, I like them as well.
the big cats see you and they think, boy, if we can get that guy down, we got food for a month. Let's go after him. That's a big ass gazelle. Cheetahs can reach speeds of up to 75 miles per hour. I mean, if you've driven a car 75 miles an hour or faster,
you're moving.
I might have recently. You're moving. 75, you are moving. That is damn fast for any organism to move in or out of a motorized vehicle. All right, another guy who isn't quite as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he's getting paid not quite as much as Tyreek Hill. Calvin Ridley, and there was some criticism of the Falcons for the way they structured the trade of Calvin Ridley to the Jaguars because some people thought that once they got past 4 o'clock Eastern on the first day of the league year, he would just turn around and re-sign with the Jaguars, that there was some provision in there that gave them the ability
extra
to sign him and
pick.
not have the pick go from round 3 to round 2, but he doesn't sign with the Jaguars. Some thought he was signing with the Jaguars. Apparently some reported he was signing with the Jaguars. He goes to the Titans instead on a 4-year deal, $92 million, $50 million fully guaranteed. Now they have their guy to take the place of the guy they traded away at less money than A.J. Brown got from the Philadelphia Eagles when he was traded less than 2 years ago. And my God, it's only been 2 years, but it was less than 2 years ago that we saw the Mike Vrabel move that inevitably resulted in the demise of many in Tennessee when A.J. Brown was traded. The guy they drafted to take his place, whose name currently escapes me, the first
Treylon Burke.
That hasn't panned out.
Right.
Treylon Burke, that hasn't worked out. So enter Calvin Ridley to Tennessee, where they're trying to build something around a quarterback that, even though we got a new regime now, Rand Carthon drafted Will Levis, Brian Callahan's going to work with Will Levis. You got to give him weapons. Calvin Ridley is the guy that's going to be WR1 in the new Tennessee offense.
Yeah, I mean, wait, listen, this guy's a good player. And again, I think it'll only be better this year after, you know, being out of football like he was and getting his feet back underneath him. We saw him get better and better as the year went on, and I would expect that to continue again here. I mean, he's a number one big-time receiver, as we know. And they were in desperate need, and probably because of that, probably paid a little bit of a premium for it because, yeah, there is no, hey, it's Brian Callahan. He's trying to start something there. He's got a young quarterback. Yeah, they got DeAndre Hopkins on the roster, and that's good, certainly. But like you said, Treylon Burks, some of the other guys, they're not proven consistent commodities. Now you got a guy where, you know, Callahan can be like with like Jamar Chase, like you line up over there and now we'll see how they cover you and I'll let my quarterback get to the right plays according to that coverage. But Mike, like, all right, this does have the feel right here. And again, I'm not Mr. Breaking News trying to text people as it happens. I'm a little bit more like, you know, after the fact, talk to people and maybe a week from now, talk to people and hear this right now. This has got a feel of like that was the plan for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were hoping to do that, and Tennessee swooped in here at the last second and paid significantly more money to where Jacksonville was like, well, we can't match that. We just paid Gabe Davis. We're paying Christian Kirk a lot of money. We're paying Evan Ingram a lot of money, right? We're going to have to pay Trevor Lawrence a lot of money. We just franchised Josh Allen, and he wants a long-term deal, right? It feels like they swooped in at the last second and you know, pulled a fast one on their South rivals there.
Which is fair game.
It is.
It's fair game. I mean, by not getting the deal done at a time when they would have owed the Falcons a second-round pick, they created an opening for the Titans to come pilfer Calvin Ridley away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And maybe the Jaguars were a little complacent. Maybe they thought there wouldn't be somebody else who tries to make the play. You got the division rivalry to spice it up a little bit, and out goes Calvin Ridley. Now, when they signed, who did they sign in free agency? It's been a whirlwind, to use your term, this week. They signed a receiver in free agency that made me think maybe they're out on Calvin Ridley.
Well, here, but, Gabe Davis. Well, that was Gabe Davis. Yeah,
Gabe Davis.
I said that.
How can
yeah,
I forget?
Right. I just said
Gabe
it,
Davis.
Too. Listen
yeah.
to me.
All right.
Jeez.
Well, I wasn't listening to you. When are you going to learn I don't listen to you?
I'm learning. At least you weren't texting or doing something else. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, we know. Thank you very much.
I actually was.
Yeah.
I actually was.
Right.
I was.
Thanks, prick. Go ahead.
So, thanks. Thanks. Sorry, Nelson. So, that's where the Titans are. And also, they've added Mason Rudolph on a one-year deal. Now, I was told the other day that even though Russell Wilson is going to sign with the Steelers, the door wasn't closed on Mason Rudolph. And we talked about this whole dynamic of having three quarterbacks on your roster, and the Steelers hadn't ruled out bringing back Rudolph. I think they probably wanted him for the league minimum. We'll see what the Titans are paying him, but he goes there with an opportunity to be the number two behind Will Levis and available to play in the event that Will Levis gets hurt. And we saw how Will Levis was playing last year to the point where former head coach Mike Vrabel had to say, hey Will, look, here's a highlight reel of all the times quarterbacks have gotten the shit knocked out of them. And I think that was Vrabel's quote. Sorry, Nelson. That we need to teach you how not to get yourself injured. So that's a good place to be a backup, because you got a shot at playing if the quarterback goes out there and plays with reckless abandon all the time, Chris.
Yeah, no, listen, yeah, Levis, I mean, he showed, you know, was better than I expected, great throws, you know, leadership, and a little too much physicality. You're right about that. But here's the thing too, Mike, though, right? I mean, Malik Willis is there. Right now, I understand them wanting Mason Rudolph and having a guy that, hey, he's played, he's run some offenses. Malik's still young and a little raw, but like he ain't like when he gets on the field with Malik Willis, his arm ain't in the same world as Malik Willis, right? So if Malik can continue to grow as a player, Mason Rudolph, you know, he might find himself as the third stringer here in Tennessee as well. It's no guarantee as far as how this shakes out. So that's something to watch for, certainly. But I totally understand Tennessee signing a guy like Mason Rudolph and Callahan signing him. And either Callahan, they've seen Mason Rudolph. They were in the AFC North. They know what he's about. They know he can manage a game and you know, make a throw and stand in the pocket like you need to every now and then. I've been a fan of Tennessee. Not like super splash signings here, but they've done a good job, I think, getting some guys that fit the culture, right? You know, Callahan brought a guy or two over from Cincinnati. He's got that. They've improved their O-line. So, you know, I think they've done an under-the-radar kind of good job here in free agency.
It makes me wonder whether or not they're committed to Malik Willis. He's got 2 years left under contract. Could he be available? Again, this is not an ideal year in which to try to trade a quarterback, as the Bears are finding out the hard way. But you wonder, and it's a low-dollar contract for Malik Willis on the back end of his rookie deal, the final two seasons of it. The Mason Rudolph contract is going to, I think, give us a good glimpse as to how they view him in relation to Malik Willis on the way through the door. How much money are they paying Mason Rudolph on that one-year deal? We'll try to find that out. We'll inevitably find that out. All right, we need to take a break because we were way over in segment one. We only have 5 segments left to jam into the final 45 minutes. We'll commence that next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
There's Luke Combs, who apparently is a Panthers fan. What are we doing? No first-round pick for McCaffrey a few years back, and now none for Brian Burns. And we just... are we just firebombing the whole team, yada, yada, yada? Oh, wait, there he is, a Falcons jersey. And if you look for the video on YouTube of him singing Fast Car Live, he's wearing a Vikings hat. Apparently, he's also been spotted in a Bears jersey. Chris, I think Luke Combs is the – there he is. I think Luke Combs is the new Snoop Dogg, who will swear allegiance to any team that happens to hit his radar screen and or – gives him free stuff, which I resemble that remark.
Or doing a concert in that city, right? The Carolina Panthers should send out a tweet and go, what is Luke Combs doing? Why is he not a loyal fan to us? Why does he wear everybody else's stuff? They should reply. They should reply and have some fun here on social media.
because they stink. That's why. When you stink and there's no hope whatsoever, that's when the fan develops a wandering eye. Luke Combs, the new Snoop Dogg, you will spot him in many different colors and hats and jerseys, especially if he doesn't have to pay for them. That makes them better. Okay, free agency grab bag time. Let's start with the Ravens. We've yet to see Luke Combs in a Ravens hat or jersey, and maybe he's not inclined to do that based upon what they've experienced in free agency. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerning are the departures of the Baltimore Ravens in free agency? Yes, they've added Derrick Henry. Gus Edwards is gone. Devin Duvernay is gone. Morgan Moses is gone. He's been traded to the Jets. Patrick Queen goes to the Steelers. Ronald Darby signs with the Jaguars. They probably won't be bringing back Odell Beckham Jr. Geno Stone, who was the interception leader at one point last year, is gone. Scale of 1 to 10, how concerning?
I'm 5. I don't think it's that concerning, right? I mean, I'm not looking at this list going, whoa, these are game changers. Patrick Queen was awesome last year, but that is, I would say, the only year of his career that he was awesome. That one hurts a little, definitely. But again, you know, the rest of the crew here, I don't look at it and go, oh, man, no Ronald Darby, they're not going to be able to play the same defense anymore. No Gus Edwards, they won't be able to run up the middle with their 12,000 pounds of offensive linemen in front of them. So, No, again, these are players you like, certainly, but, you know, Baltimore's got a lot of good players, a lot of good role players. They got depth, right? They got all of that. And the Morgan Moses thing was big for the Jets, that's for sure. But the Ravens are pretty deep on the offensive line, and one of those teams, too, that knows how to develop offensive linemen, too. So you're always like, well, yeah, they got rid of him. He's older and up there in years. They got guys, and, yeah, they got guys coming up the ranks here, and they always seem to kind of turn those guys into starters and players. So I'm not really all that concerned. They still got a real good O-line. They still got Lamar. They still got that tight end. They got three good receivers still. That defense is still legit. I think they'll be just fine.
I'm going to go 1.5. I think that they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, right.
They make these plans. Right. They understand how it works. They're all about drafting and developing talent, getting maximum compensatory draft picks. Look, they understand and they know how to work the compensatory draft pick formula unlike any other team. And they know there are certain years where they're not going to add many and they're going to let a lot go. And that's going to help them when the time comes the next year to determine the compensatory draft picks. They understand that formula, like I said, better than anyone. So that's just how they do it. They know who's going to be back. They know who they're going to move on from. And they always have in mind who is going to be ready to step in. I remember last year when the season was approaching, like, oh, who on there was his defense? Like, what's up with the Baltimore defense? Like, and then by the time they start playing the games, it's like, oh, that guy's pretty good. Oh, that guy's pretty good. Oh, this guy's getting it done. Oh, Mike McDonald's doing a great job. That's the way it's been under John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta and before that, Ozzie Newsome. They have a great organization that always knows where they're going, what they're doing, and nothing happens that catches them by surprise, at least not very often. All right, true or false? The 49ers front seven looks better now than it did last week. Eric Armstead is gone. They've added a couple of guys in free agency, including Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. They thought they were getting Eric Kendricks. We talked about that yesterday. The Cowboys came in and convinced him to say no thank you to the 49ers and sign there instead. True or false? Front seven looks better now than it did last week.
Gosh, I'm going to say false, but there's some nuance here. I mean, one, right now, I don't think they have a starting other defensive tackle right now, so I can't say true. It's better, right? I mean, by all due accounts, right now, it looks like, wait, there's they need to find another guy to start next to Javon Hargrave. I don't think Jordan Elliott's that guy. I think Jordan Elliott's the part of the rotation. You'd like him to be your third D tackle, and he plays a lot. So that's where I'll say no. Now, we'll see. Eric Armstead, it's going to be interesting. And I'm, you know, I don't know what's going to go on there. They asked him to take the pay cut, right? I'm sure he's feeling the market out a little bit right now. Will he go back to the 49ers? We'll see. But they did improve the defensive end position. That's where I will say. Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos is better than, you know, Chase Young and Clelin Ferrell. That's where I'll definitely say that as far as the defensive ends are concerned. But no, they're still got a spot there that needs to be addressed and they need to figure out.
Yeah, I
oh, and they got Malik Collins
like
yesterday, too, last night. Wait. So hold on.
Trade, yeah. Malik
hold
Collins
on.
In a trade.
Tomorrow. Okay. True. I'll go with true for now, then. I'll go with true. It's close.
Okay.
Sorry. I forgot about Malik Collins happening late last night. I'm sorry about that.
Somebody has texted me during the show that they have the story on what happened with Eric Kendricks and the 49ers and the Cowboys. I'll be interested to find out and verify that that's the case. But again, until a deal is signed, all's fair, especially when a guy was cut. The Chargers cut him. So he's free and clear. And nothing is done until the name is signed at the bottom of the contract. Until that happens, another team can swoop in. A guy who agrees in principle can say, I've changed my mind. That is fully and absolutely permitted under all circumstances. There's nothing wrong with it. It pisses the teams off, and it gets the teams pissed off at the agent. And the agent has to work with the team in the future. That's where it becomes a little dicey. Like, I can't trust your word anymore. You tell me your guy is coming here and he doesn't. It's something that needs to be repaired. But the Cowboys convinced Kendricks to reunite with Mike Zimmer, even though Kendricks was the one who said after Zimmer was fired, they had a fear-based mentality under Zimmer. I guess after being with the Chargers for a year, he realized maybe that's a better way to coach a football team. Which doesn't belong in why.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me say that. Allies are important, right? So he must feel that Zimmer's an ally. I think the other thing, too, with Kendricks, too, is maybe he looks at Dallas and goes, wait, I can be the starter there and start all year. And San Francisco, he's looking at it and goes, as soon as Dre Greenlaw gets healthy, I'm back on the bench, right? So I think that probably played a big part of it as well.
As we were saying yesterday, helps them bring Dre Greenlaw back because they can trust Eric Kendricks. But you're right, we get to the end of the season. It's time for the playoffs. Eric, take a seat.
Exactly.
All right, which doesn't belong and why? Backup quarterbacks who signed for under $10 million. Joe Flacco with the Colts, Jameis Winston with the Browns, Drew Lock with the Giants. Which doesn't belong and why?
Wow. I'm going to say Drew Lock, right? I'm fan of all these guys being backups, right? I guess I'll go with Drew Lock a little bit more just because he doesn't quite have the playing experience the other guys do here, right? That I think is what I'll lean on as far as why, you know, it's a game here, a game there that's been good or whatever, but there's never been a consistent like, oh, wow, yeah, he can – if our guy goes down, he can definitely take over and be that guy. Jameis, I know, has been a little bit all over the place, you know, through his career, but Jameis has strung together game after game to where I've gone, that's pretty good. That's pretty. And we know Joe as well. He's a proven commodity. So that's where I'll just say Drew's still got maybe a little more proving to do in that department compared to the other two.
I'm saying Drew for a different reason.
Okay.
I think Drew Lock, of the three, is in a position
where he
can
supplant
the starter. If they truly are at the point where they're exasperated with Daniel Jones, Rich Eisen was saying, based upon things he heard at the Combine, he's out. They're out on Daniel Jones. Drew Lock has a chance to go in there and kick Daniel Jones to the bench. If he competes like he has, if he plays like he did when he had that great performance last year for the Seahawks when he was playing in place of Geno Smith, he's got a chance to earn the job. There's no way Jameis Winston is knocking out Deshaun Watson. There's no way Joe Flacco is knocking out Anthony Richardson. Now they might play because those guys are injured. Drew Lock's the guy who's got the best chance to play based on merit, Chris.
Yeah, I hear you there. And OTAs, right? I mean, I don't know how Daniel Jones will be ready to take snaps and do that. So Drew's going to get some good snaps. Drew Lock has starting quarterback caliber traits. There's no doubt about that, right? I still think Daniel Jones has got a backing in that organization, but yeah, I think your point, yeah, you're right about that. If there was one that could maybe be a quarterback battle, that would be it.
I'll be watching for the reports citing unnamed sources that the Giants really like what they see in Drew Lock. That'll be the starting of the dominoes, possibly toward Daniel Jones falling off and Drew Lock falling in. Let's take a break. When we return, Aaron Rodgers is already finding out the difference between being covered by sports media and being covered by news media.
Whoa.
We'll explain when PFT Live continues right after this. Aaron Rodgers is in the process of finding out the difference of being covered by the media that reports on the NFL and the media that reports on world events and politics. If he possibly will be the running mate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on an independent effort to win the presidency. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign announced yesterday that he will make his public proclamation of the VP choice on March 26 in Oakland, California, about 150 miles from where Rodgers grew up. This is what's going to happen. They're going to start digging into your past. They're going to start mentioning things that they knew about that previously weren't relevant.
Yeah, nobody cared because you're a sports player. You're a quarterback. Right. Now this is a different thing. Right.
Pamela Brown, who works at CNN, and she's the daughter of Phyllis George, Chris. That was before your time. But Phyllis George was one of the iconic members of the NFL Today when it first started.
Live
great documentary.
I remember Phyllis George.
Sunday.
Right.
Pamela Brown's been with CNN for a while. She was at the Kentucky Derby in 2013 and had a conversation with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers brought up that he doesn't trust the news media because they ignore things. And next thing you know, Aaron Rodgers is a Sandy Hook truther, apparently, allegedly, according to this report, espousing conspiracy theories that the Sandy Hook tragedy didn't really happen. That's what got Alex Jones, sued ultimately for a $1.5 billion judgment. So this is out there now, and it's not inconsistent with some of the stuff that we've heard from Aaron Rodgers over the years, up to and including the suggestion to Deshaun Kizer, former teammate with the Packers, that Aaron Rodgers thinks 9/11 was an inside job.
Right. I mean, the Jeffrey Epstein, Jimmy Kimmel thing, he tried to throw that out there. You know, of course, some of the stuff with vaccines and all that. So certainly seems to dabble in that. You know, there's no doubt about this. And, you know, you said it right.
Dabble.
Right. I mean, yes.
He believes that's the thing. If you believe every single one of these, there's a point where not every single one of them is true. It's like he's all in with every single crazy ass conspiracy theory out there.
Yeah.
At least that's the perception that's emerging.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say dabble. Yeah, he embraces the conspiracy theories. That's where he is. And screw the perception. It seems to be factual here from what he's shown us, to your point. Now, where I will say, let me just hear you here. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I think, it's extremely insensitive in a lot of ways with some of that conspiracy theory stuff. Right. But here's the other thing I will say. Aaron Rodgers didn't ask for this. I mean, I know he could have maybe came out right away and squashed it. But damn, RFK put him in this position, just kind of out of nowhere. And this has caused people to just dive in. So that's where I feel a little bit bad for Aaron Rodgers. He didn't have a press conference and go, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And then people dive in. You know, how much did he know that RFK was going to bring his name up or any of that? Go ahead. I don't know these facts, so tell me.
Fair point. Yeah. But these things don't happen accidentally or spontaneously.
Yeah.
He's been supporting RFK Jr. One of his most recent posts on X is a clip of RFK Jr. saying, this is presidential. So he's been hanging around. And I first heard about it. We talked about it yesterday. PFT commenter, my internet son, told me that he was hearing this because he wanted to see if I was hearing it. So this is out there. And if RFK Jr. is crossing that line and injecting him into this conversation without his approval, this is the kind of thing that Aaron Rodgers is going to react to. He's going to be pissed about it. And we've seen him in the past when he's pissed about things. He doesn't hold his tongue. If this was fake, if this was false, he would do something about it and make sure everybody understands he is not considering what would be the ultimate distraction at a minimum to his football career, or at worst, tapping out and walking away from football altogether. And now we've got to spend the next 12 days wondering whether or not he's going to be the VP candidate, unless and until he comes out and says, no, I'm not. RFK Jr. is crazy to think that I would want to do it. I told him no. Part of the reporting from the New York Times is that he's receptive to it, not that he said, no, I don't want to do it. So you're right. This is on his friend and the presidential candidate he's supporting. This guy, if none of this is true, has crossed a line in the relationship. And presumably Aaron Rodgers would be upset about it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think, to your point yesterday, he needs to squash this, right? He does, for all reasons, because people are going to continue to dig here as the longer he doesn't say stuff, and it's just going to make the public and people less in his corner, let alone if it starts to get into the 9/11 thing here. Again, I don't think most people here in the New York area, the tri-state area, really know his views, right? Only the people that are in the weeds like you and me and watch this show and follow football all the time know Rodgers is like that. But I think like your base Jets fan, right? Johnny, who might be the construction worker in North Jersey, who I went to high school with, I don't know if he knows those little nuances. And some of those people, if they start to find this out, they're not going to respect that because they got close ties to things that and people and that went on and were involved in 9/11. So that's where he's got to be careful, let alone he just told us he was on to play 3 or 4 more years. So you can't be a VP, let alone you spent a majority of after the year of we got to stop the leaks and we got to stop the distractions and the thing. And then here we are, I'm going to be the biggest distraction in the organization. That's where it's not going to sit well with people in the organization and people in the guys in the locker room who are kind of like, what? What's he talking about? He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. So that's where I would hope he would squash this here soon.
It's incumbent on him, if it's not true, to say so. And that's the bottom line. And the other side of it, to the 9/11 point, and we've said this a few times, the rough and tumble New York media, he's never been asked a single question about being a 9/11 truther on any occasion that he's been available to the New York media. It was all softballs. And and flowers when he had his introductory press conference last year. Robert Saleh's brother was in one of the two towers when the first plane hit.
Yes.
The 9/11 was the epiphany for Robert Saleh to quit doing whatever he was doing and get into coaching, because life is precious and life is short and you only have one shot at it. So it's amazing to me. I agree with you. It's amazing to me that New Yorkers aren't aware that this guy, according to Sean Kizer, thinks 9/11 was an inside job and not a terrorist attack. So this is all going to be laid bare. And the sooner he taps out, the sooner the dogs get called off, that is the political media that will be looking into everything he's ever said and everything he believes. And we have a right to know that in all our candidates. Not that it really matters. I mean, look at the last 9 years. Does it really matter? I don't think anything matters. As long as you're capable of forming a cult, nothing matters. We got to take a break. More PFT Live right after this.
All right, this week, the best on the PGA Tour head to TPC Sawgrass for the 50th annual Players Championship. Don't miss any of the action today through Sunday on NBC, golf, and all-round streaming Peacock. There it is. Look at that. The Island Green, right? I do love what, like, this is one of the majors that, you know, not a major that I kind of will pay attention to a little bit, this one. And, you know, of course, always love watching that Island Green, right? I mean, how many times do you think you'd have to hit the ball to get that ball on the Island Green? How many times?
A lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of times. I'd eventually put one there. When I have had periods of my life where I've been smitten with golf, and it's a very dangerous, potentially addictive hobby.
Right.
Because you end up thinking about it, reading about it, go to the driving range. I got to get around it. Like, it consumes your life if you really are all in and you want to get as good as you can be. And the one thing that I was really good at golf was hitting the green on a par three, because there's this weird thing that happens to me where I just visualize the green. Then there's just something about it. I get into a zone. Doesn't happen all the time. Doesn't happen nearly often enough. But I was developing this skill where I knew I could put the ball on the green on a par three. I knew exactly. I felt like the ball was already connected to the green, except when it's fully surrounded by water.
Well, we're,
that's when it would
day,
be a challenge.
We'll put
to
that
make
to
that
the
green
test
stand
at TPC Sawgrass one day. We'll get out there and go, well, let me see you. Let me see you do that. Or, yeah, when you move to Connecticut, I'll bring you to a golf course here and see how you do in the par three.
I haven't golfed in like 6 or 7 years. It's more to talk about than we have time for today. I probably will never do it again. But I've had 2 or 3 different periods in my life when it was like, oh, my God, I love golf more than anything.
It can be
and
really
I could be
addictive.
Really good if I play all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. NFL tinkering with the rules. The competition committee will have its proposals. But in addition to what the competition committee does, the teams can submit their proposals. Proposals were publicized yesterday. We already knew about the proposal to change the trade deadline. There are multiple proposals. One is after week 9. The Browns is after week 10, factoring in the inevitable expansion of the regular season from 17 to 18 games. The Lions have proposed getting a third challenge flag if either of the first two that a coach uses are successful.
Yeah, I like
that. Both have to be successful to get a third. The Eagles on board with the 4th-and-20 alternative to the onside kick. I know how much you love that one. And look, these are the team proposals. This means that there's been an effort to get the competition committee behind it, and the competition committee hasn't taken up the flag. So it's harder for these to get through.
Yeah, yeah. It's some good ones here, right? I mean, I, of course, I'm a big fan of the moving the trade deadline that we talked about and the Cleveland Browns being, you know, spearheading that conversation. And I'm all for the Lions and their proposal of the third challenge if either of the first two were successful. I do. I mean, again, the sports, it's too hard, right? We know there's human error and stuff like that. It doesn't make any sense for, you know, hey, I had a challenge, 2 plays that were like everybody in the world watching was worth challenging. I got 1 right and 1 wrong, but now here I am with 8 minutes left in the game. I can't challenge anymore. You know, I don't like that. I don't. So, yeah, I like some of these, certainly. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of that 4th-and-20 onside kick one.
The one I like the most is the proposal to allow a practice squad quarterback.
That's
to
another good
the
one.
Game day emergency third quarterback.
Yeah.
That whole last year, like, oh, we have to do something about what happened to the 49ers, and they had Christian McCaffrey playing quarterback, and then Brock Purdy came back and they just handed off over and over again. We need to have a third quarterback. Okay, we'll do a third quarterback, but he has to be a member of the active roster. Well, nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. So let the player be a member of the practice squad, call him up for game day, and make him a member of the active roster. I feel like that's inevitable.
Come on. That's simple. And I mean, gosh, why would we want to, like,
especially after last year?
Right, why would we want to risk messing the game up? Like, why? Like for that? Like, that's what, we can't have that rule. Like, get out of here. That's one of the dumbest things in the sport right now. Like, let's have the insurance policy that if two guys don't go down, the game doesn't become a shit show and none of us want to watch it. Please. I mean, come on.
Sorry, Nelson.
Yeah, sorry, Nelson. Sorry, Glasgow. Nelson. Sorry, London.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, who are the best remaining free agents available 3 days into the process? That's our draft. We'll do it next here on PFT Live. Like, if I take a nap for 1 to 1.5 hours, my hair isn't like Einstein. Anything more than 2 hours in bed, when I wake up, I mean, it's like, what are those little trolls? Like, the hair's just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
And there's nothing you can do.
Right.
The hard reset, you got to take a shower and start over again.
Right.
I kind of like that look. Kind of like that look. That's a little
like
Edward Scissorhands-ish.
Yeah. Looks like similar.
Well done.
Similar,
it's an improvement.
Look there. Way to go.
Improvement. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. On that note, hair-raising, not for many, move by the Chargers yesterday. We saw this coming. They got four veterans with big cap numbers. They had a significant cap deficit. They cleared $20 million in cap space by releasing Mike Williams. He had a $3 million payment that was going to become guaranteed. He had another $17 million. And yes, there it is. Thank you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mike Williams. Now pack your stuff and go. So Williams is out. They still have Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, and Keenan Allen under contract. One or more of those guys could be traded or released. But Williams was the no-brainer. Coming off of a torn ACL, $20 million. That was the first guy.
That's right.
That seemed obvious. I mean, no one's trading for him. He's going to get cut, and he's been cut.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. You know, again, the ACL thing did happen early in the year, right? So you'd think, hey, by the start of the next season, he'd be ready to go, right? Just one of those things where he ends up going back to the Chargers, right? Or does somebody out there give him money? That I'll be interested to see where that goes.
Mack is staying, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you, but
I don't want
to let the impression to linger. Khalil Mack has a revised contract. He's staying. So it's down to Bosa and Allen at this point.
Right. And I would think, one of them's going to have to readjust something or somebody won't be there. But I would think there's got to be some juggling of some money with one of those two guys for sure. Bosa, maybe they ask him to restructure. I don't know. But Mike Williams, he's a damn good player when he's healthy. You know, he's big. He can beat you down the field with speed. Guys like that, still a commodity for sure.
All right, draft time. Best remaining free agents.
Woo.
Go.
We got some good, really some good ones here. Here's one I'm going to throw. And, some of the ones here, I'm going to go with Tyron Smith to throw out there right off the bat. Now there's some risk there. Right? Because of he's getting up there in age and there's been some injury and all of that. But damn, he's still a really good left tackle. Like a guy that, if you got a worry or something there, right? He's a guy you'd like on your football team. But it's a balancing the price with the age and the injury history and all that. So I find him to be, very intriguing.
Well, at PFT, every year, we work very laboriously to put together a top 100 free agent list.
Yeah.
And I frankly do nothing to create that. Shireen Williams is the one who carries that weight to the top of the mountain. And I'm going to defer to her list because the top remaining free agent on the top 100 as compiled by Shireen Williams is number 16. The top 15 are gone. Number 16, Bengals defensive tackle DJ Reader. Tyron Smith is 20. So you're in the right ballpark. But DJ Reader, a guy who can be a disruptive presence, the Bengals could use to have him back. I saw that he visited with someone, the Lions, I think he had a visit with, but he hasn't gotten a deal yet.
I really wanted to pick him first. I did not think you would pick him, so I was kind of waiting on him. Yeah, when it goes to defensive tackles, he's the best one out there right now. And DJ Reader, when healthy, is still one of the best run stoppers in all of football. So I don't know what's the delay here or whatever, but I would think at some point here he gets signed up and gets a decent amount of money because he's still a damn good player. All right, I'm going to throw another one out here. Interesting one. Xavien Howard, you know, to me is still an island corner in the NFL. Right, he's still a guy where you just go, you got him. Now, he was a little banged up and not himself last year all the way. But when healthy still, I still think there's gas in the tank here for him to be a damn good football player. And I think as we go on to free agency here, teams are going to start to turn on film with Xavien Howard and go, whoa, it's a little better than what I expect. I might not want to pay him, you know, top of the market type of money at corner, but it's still damn good, and he can still cover the best receivers in the game. I'll go with him.
All right, and he comes in at number 30 on the list that Shireen worked very hard to compile and to which I contributed nothing.
She's doing your dirty work once again.
I'm going to go a couple higher on that list. Hollywood Brown, Cardinals receiver, former first-round pick. Remember, wanted out of Baltimore, wanted to go to an offense where things were going to be a little more open up.
Right.
There was no substitute for speed.
Right.
There is no substitute for speed. So Hollywood Brown is my pick. We will do round three next here as we wrap up this Thursday edition of PFT Live. Best remaining available. I'm being redundant. Free agents 2024. Thank God the show's almost over.
Yep.
I feel the wheels coming off.
Thank God I only got to deal with you for one more minute this week. Thank God we're getting there. And there's some ones out there that are intriguing, right? I mean, geez, Jadeveon Clowney, Eric Armstead being out there, right? OBJ. But here, I'm going to go with a position that we know is not – Trent Brown of the New England, of the New England Patriots, prior here. But Trent Brown played really good football last year. Trent Brown is still, when he's playing at his best, is a upper echelon's tackle. He is a road grader in the run game, and he is tough to get around in pass rush.
Even though he's number 50 on Shireen's list, Chase Young, Chase Young's still available.
It's intriguing.
Defensive rookie of the year. Torn ACL threw off his career, and he made a couple of plays in the Super Bowl that had people saying, hey, maybe this guy's got something. We're done. Enjoy
your
weekend, Chris.
See you later.
Tomorrow.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet?
Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.